Now, a new study looks at people who have developed long-term neurological symptoms after having, in some cases, a mild bout of COVID-19. A study from Northwestern University looked at a group of 100 people who had COVID cases that didn't send them to the hospital, but then eventually morphed into ongoing neurological symptoms, including headaches, brain fog, muscle pain, tingling, dizziness, and more. Emerging research is finding some connections between relatively mild cases of COVID and long-term symptoms from the illness. We're looking at new research on so-called long COVID and the neurological symptoms that can sometimes come along with it. Dr. Edith Graham is an instructor of neurology and a fellow in neuroimmunology at Northwestern's Feinberg School of Medicine. She sees patients in the university's neuro-COVID clinic, which is established in response to patients with long-term neurological symptoms after COVID. She's a co-author of this new study. Dr. Graham, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi, Rob. Thank you. It's great to be here.
Can you tell us, first of all, about, I gave a short list of symptoms there, but about some of the things that people are showing up with after, as we said, a mild case of COVID?
Absolutely. So it was very evident to us early in the pandemic that even these patients who were having very mild illnesses, and by mild, I mean patients who did not require oxygen. So maybe they felt very sick at home, like a very bad flu-like illness, but they didn't require oxygen or hospitalization. But they were coming in and they were ending up in a neurology clinic because they had what they were describing as brain fog or problems with their thinking, their concentration. And that was the first thing that we realized was this was really going to be an issue going forward.
And I know it's probably hard to tell this at this point, but do we know how common this is among people who have had, as you say, COVID, but not at a level of hospitalization?
Yeah, like you said, the numbers are still emerging on what percent of patients who have had COVID go on to develop long COVID. And at this point, I think the number is kind of estimated around 10% of patients.
And can you talk about the severity here? Because I think people might hear brain fog and, oh, we all feel that a little bit from time to time. Can you talk about the severity of the patients who are coming to your neuro COVID clinic with these symptoms?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. So, right, it's something that I think people hear, they dismiss, but really we are seeing this have quite an impact on people in their work and their jobs. They're not able to go back to work, sometimes for 3 weeks, but sometimes for months. And these are people who were previously healthy, had no prior medical conditions, and they are really struggling. And why that is, and the root of all of this and the mechanism we're still researching and learning more about.
Right. This is an elusive illness. At first we thought respiratory, but then we saw it had issues with the cardiovascular system, our blood vessels, our hearts, the blood vessels in our lungs. What are we seeing when it comes to damage to, I don't know, our nerves, our brains?
Yeah, no, exactly. This is something that it seems to be able to really affect any organ system that we have. So with our brains, so of our patient population, we looked at 100 patients who came to us in our outpatient clinic with any of the neurologic symptoms you listed. But of our patients, 81% had brain fog, 68% had headaches. And again, we're talking not just a mild headache here. We're talking chronic, persistent migraines, really debilitating, unable to do anything but kind of tend to their headache. Numbness and tingling, disorders still persistent, anosmia or loss of smell, loss of taste are probably some of the most common things that we're seeing.
I guess one question I'd have is somebody that condition, does that mean they still have an active viral infection going on, or is this a consequence of damage received while they were suffering from COVID? How do we start to answer a question like that?
Right. And honestly, it may be neither. Right. So I don't think we have any good evidence to date that COVID actively infects the brain. So there's no, in other words, we don't see the COVID virus in our neurons. There is also some evidence, that there is potentially some damaging sequelae of like microscopic blood clots that may form in the brain. But honestly, I think it's probably a third option, which is a persistent autoimmune or a disimmune activation that occurs after being exposed to the virus.
That sounds bad to me because it seems like autoimmune disorders for people who have suffered for them for a long time, they know this, they're really hard to treat. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I mean, autoimmune disorders can come in multiple different types. So there's many components of our immune system. So based on which part of it is affected, it depends on what the treatment's going to be. And so until we can really nail down that this might be a specific antibody or specific receptor, then it's really difficult to have any sort of targeted treatment.
We're talking about possible long-term neurological symptoms that follow COVID-19 infection, often even in just mild cases of COVID-19. Dr. Edith Graham is with us. She is a researcher. She's written about this. She's with Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine. Dr. Graham, you have focused on people who had mild cases of COVID. Do we know, have we seen similar things that you're aware of in people who have had more severe cases, who have been, for example, hospitalized due to COVID complications?
Yeah, absolutely. We're actually going to be coming out with another cohort of looking at those patients who have been hospitalized. But from my personal experience, we've seen over 400 patients now in our neuro-COVID clinic, many of which were hospitalized. And yes, the symptoms seem to be very similar.
Now, you're looking for this at Northwestern. Are you hearing from colleagues around the country saying, yes, we're seeing these things too?
Absolutely. I think one of the other early clinics to start a neuro-COVID model was Mount Sinai. And they definitely are seeing very similar rates of these problems going on there.
Now, I wonder, Dr. Graham, there were a lot of, especially early on, at least it's thought that there were a lot of undiagnosed cases of COVID-19 where somebody may have had it, a mild case, they didn't get tested for it. Is it possible that there are people out there who might be having these same conditions and not even thinking it might be from COVID?
That's a very interesting question. You know, it's going to be hard to know if that's the case without, particularly if I've had some people ask me, I tested positive for COVID antibodies and I didn't even know I had it. But now I'm thinking, you know, I've had some problems with my memory over the past few months. Could that be from an asymptomatic COVID infection? And we don't know. I think the research is focusing right now on people who have had symptoms and come to our attention, but we are certainly looking at both people who have tested positive and people who have tested negative but had COVID symptoms to kind of characterize what's still going on.
Let's bring on a caller. We've got Dennis with us in Two Rivers. Dennis, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I was thinking of pretty much what you were just talking about is, because I've had trouble with brain fog for quite a while due to stress and whatever else. The thing is, I'm under treatment, so how do I know if I'm recovering from what I had before, but now maybe I have some asymptomatic COVID-19 because I don't have the coughing or the other things, but maybe the brain fog is coming up?
Dennis, thanks a lot for the call. So that's interesting, Dr. Graham, somebody who might have, maybe even in the pre-COVID era, had some of these symptoms. Maybe Dennis isn't sure if he had COVID, but I don't know, how do you sort out if COVID is causing new things or it's the old problem recurring?
Yeah, so, there are multiple things that can cause brain fog, and certainly stress, and other sorts of mood disorders, depression, anxiety would contribute to that. Any chronic illness or prior history of concussion would all contribute to feelings of brain fog. So we're not taking anybody who comes into the clinic who has had that complaint and saying, yes, this is COVID, just because COVID was so prevalent this year. But it's worthwhile looking for an antibody and seeing, you know, is that something that's possibly there? And like I said, ultimately, I don't know if we can ever kind of retrospectively diagnose people who we weren't sure early in the pandemic.
Thanks for that call, Dennis. Now, I've read that there have been anecdotal reports of some people, again, post-COVID, developing symptoms of psychosis who had never had that or never had that diagnosed before. Is that something that you've encountered in your own research?
Yeah, surprisingly, we have had a couple of patients who have endorsed episodes of hallucinations, and typically more acutely during the phase of the illness where they were pretty sick with the flu-like symptoms. We haven't seen patients who have had, I guess, prolonged psychosis, kind of more maybe like fever dreams would be a better word for it, where they had these kind of transient hallucinations. But I, you know, I'm not a psychiatrist, but I think that is a worthwhile area to explore the effect of COVID-inducing psychosis.
I almost feel bad for asking this early in the research, but are there any thoughts as to treatments for those people who, again, had that mild case of COVID, they're having these long-term neurological symptoms, the brain fog and headaches and things like that? Do we have therapies in mind for them?
Yeah, no, no, do not feel bad for asking about that. I think that's the question on everybody's mind too, especially those who come to see us. So there haven't been any specific clinical trials in these patients to see what works and what doesn't work, which would be necessary. But at this point, we've had kind of mixed results with patients who have been treated with steroids, for example. Some patients actually feel much worse when they take steroids. So maybe that goes against the hypothesis that this could be something autoimmune. But for the short term, what we're doing is we're treating patients symptomatically for their fatigue, for their headaches, if they have painful kind of tingling or neuropathy, and those sorts of things.
Well, I'm hoping for the best for the patients you're working with. What are you watching for over time to see, you know, if they stay with this condition, get better, get worse? What kind of things do you have your eye on?
Yeah, at this point, you know, I think we were hopeful early in the pandemic that people were all going to be on a positive trajectory and all improving. And some patients do, but there's still a subset of patients who we're finding do not improve or have a fluctuating course. And even one year later, we're seeing that some of these patients just aren't improving. So I think we're doing a follow-up study with our patients at 9 to 12 months after to see what their current status is. But also, I'm looking forward to more research, kind of elucidating what's happening on a cellular level in these patients to cause these symptoms.
Dr. Graham, we'll leave it there. Thanks for sharing your research with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Dr. Edith Graham, instructor of neurology at Northwestern's Feinberg School of Medicine. She's a co-author of a new study on long-term neurological impacts of COVID-19, even for some people who had mild cases of the illness.